This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe, supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-334-9869. That's 619-334-9869. Come get some fuck fentanyl and some San Diego recovery at SD Sober Living. Have you ever had a massage or need one? My friend Liz is the owner and operator of Spiritual Massage Healing in Encinitas. She is passionate about what she does and specializes in deep tissue and cupping. Book your massage with Liz to experience spiritual healing and body awareness. She is the best massage therapist you will ever experience. Contact Liz and check out her website with all of her services at spiritualmassagehealing.com or text her at 858-375-6910. That's 858-375-6910 to book your deep tissue massage. That's Liz at spiritualmassagehealing.com. I'm Luis Romero. I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. today I got a really fucking great one for you guys. I got my model here, Natalie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm so good.
Natalie Rose.
Yes. Oh my gosh, pleasure being here.
And so, Natalie, I met her it's been a couple years already.
Yeah.
Huh? Shit. Yeah, so I met Natalie, a couple years ago, and pretty much right before I started my brand, and then when I made it, she was all about it. It was in that little shoot we did,
it was like one of the first ones.
Yeah, it was the first ones. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
down at Lost.
You were one of the first boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. You're OG right here.
Oh my god, fuck yeah.
We also did the one that was what Manny and they got put on the reader.
Oh my gosh, that was so sick.
Yeah.
No, that was super cool. My mom actually has multiple copies of that. She went out and swiped out the whole thing. And she's like, that's my daughter. I did that too, man. Heck yeah.
It was right before Christmas and shit. And I was like, I couldn't fucking believe it. I was at the gas station and shit. I'm like, my fucking God.
That's so rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, man, yeah, that was so much fun. And Natalie's, done her little fair share in the recovery circuit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So, but I want to start from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, where did you grow up at?
So I grew up in Pacific Beach.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's where my alcoholism came from.
Wow. Yeah, right.
I swear that place just breeds alcoholics and addicts. Yeah, I swear. I was actually talking to a guy that I ran into that's sober now that is from PB. And I was like, bro, I don't run into many locals that are here getting clean. Probably I could count on one hand people that I grew up with that are now sober, Diego, we don't get out of this, that's kind of our entire life, it's our entire identity down here. It's we're the party crew.
Yeah,
you know?
No, for rules.
But it's honestly sad either that our friends have either died from this addiction or they just are stuck in their ways,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. But where it started, I grew up in a very alcoholic household. My mom had 15 years sober. And then up until I was about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And then she had one margarita down in Mexico and was off and running for a couple years until I was it was horrible. She would kind of influence my dad to get blacked out drunk with her. Okay. There was times where we were waiting in the truck for my mom to get out of after school when we're tired and we want to go home, you know, and we're like waiting for my mom and dad to get out of the bar. That's only a couple happened a couple of times, but like it just severely just got worse and worse to where like I was having to like go and like stop my parents from beating the shit out of each other in the hallway and like having to call the cops on my dad. And yeah, it was pretty heavy. And then when I was 12, I had an intervention with my for my mom with one of her best friends. We put her in the VA hospital. She was ready. So she like got in there. She like started working her steps in there. And it was really sad because at 12 years old, like I could only visit my mom for an hour, like a week, you know? And I needed her, you know? And so like, it was really heavy, but she was one of the first people that I watched like fall down and get back up, you know, like she's really where I got my strength from. From there, I remember like weed was my first love. I remember smoking weed when I was like 13 years old. And like, I feel like I've always felt like, I just didn't fit in my body. I didn't fit in anywhere. Like I was severely bullied at like in sixth grade. I was like the tiny tot. I was like 4 foot nothing.
You are a small person.
I'm so tiny still. I'm literally like the size of like a second grader as is. So like now it's like, okay, I had these like gnarly buck teeth and like, I just like, wasn't the one that like, and like no guys gave me attention, you know, and all my girlfriends are having boyfriends and all these things or whatever. And like, I'm like last peck to the dances. And I was just like, really, like, I remember at one point, like the cool guys that like the like popular guys like picked me up and threw me in like one of like the industrial sized trash cans.
What?
And I had to like have like a staff member, like get me out. It was bad. Yeah. Then when I found weed, I like finally could like, cause I just always hated myself. Like I just feel like out the womb I was different, you know?
Yeah.
And then, when I found weed, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is it. I remember like me and one of my girlfriends like got these like 3D glasses and we were like, just like, we felt like we were in a video game and I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life, you know? But I was like 12, 13. So like, obviously weed wasn't really like on hand, you know?
Then we
found like Dust Off or literally anything that could like get us high. Like all about, you know? And then I found alcohol and it was like, I just knew right off the bat that like I was different, you know? I'm sitting there watching everyone else like pass around the bottle and I'm staring at that bottle waiting for it to come back to me. You know? And from there it was just like, that was my entire identity. I went on to high school and all the people that treated me like I wasn't good enough and stuff and like bullied me. I like started teaching myself how to like dye my hair bleach blonde and like stuff my bra with socks and like all of a sudden I'm getting noticed by like the older crowd. So here I am like going and hang out with the juniors, the seniors at freshman year. I started dating a senior and like he taught me really how to party, you know? So all of a sudden like I thought that I was like this like super cool girl and like screw everyone in my grade, you know? So from there, it was just like, I often run in from there. I was just like, the chaos started coming in quick. I started losing a lot of friends. I got to the point where like my grade or like the people I was hanging out with are now moved on to college and I'm stuck with like everyone again in my grade. All hell was breaking loose with that. I remember what something happened with one of like my girlfriends, that like there was money that was stolen at the house and like this is one of those few moments that like that wasn't me, you know? And like it really, because like stealing was a huge part of my story when I was younger, you know? And like but it wasn't me and I like everyone thought it was and it got so bad that I was like really bullied at like lunchtime. Like everyone ganged up to me and I was like, you know what, I'm sick of this, like I don't want to be here anymore. So I like did what I do best and I flee. I went to Point Loma High School and like there it was like, oh my gosh, it went from like just the drinking or whatever to like the drugs, you know? And I went to move over to Point Loma with a girl that I grew up going or to PB Elementary with. She was like, yeah, like, please come here. Like, all the girls here hate me. It could be so cool to have, like, a girlfriend here. Like, I hang out with all like, the skaters and the surfers. So, like, They will love you. Like, come hang out with us and see how you like it. So I went down there. I met everyone. They were all super cool. They were obsessed with me. I was like, all right, let's do it, you know? And so I mobbed down there. Ended up starting to go to Point Loma High School. And it got to the point where, like, all of the cheerleaders that were, like, so we hung out at the quote-unquote Bat Cave, which is all the surfers and the skaters. But, like, the girls that they dated weren't really allowed to, like, hang out there. But me and Lexi were. Mm. So, like, we would just, like, party and all these things or whatever. And, like, all of a sudden the cheerleaders are starting to hate me and like they're like wanting me out. So they went to like my one girlfriend and was like, okay, here's the deal. You can hang out with us if we like completely just like disown Natalie and like get her out. So like come to lunch one day and I like go up to walk up to my girlfriend and she was like, go home. No one fucking likes you here. Like, just like telling fucking me to leave. Drama. And I was just like, what? And like all of a sudden she's like hanging out with all of them and it just like it got really bad. From there I was like super isolated. I had to like make all new friends, and then from there I was like, you know, screw school. My dad was getting sick with cancer at the time and at that point I was just like, all right, like I could go into charter and that way I can like still have fun and like I could just go to school when I wanted, you know. And like since my dad was sick, he'd rather have me at the house than like at school anyways. But from Point Loma, I like was meeting all of the guys at the skate park's older brothers. And so they were teaching me how to like, like roll blunts and party and added like cocaine into it, you know? And then, from there, like, I remember like I have all this time on my hands now. So I started like surfing a lot more I met, I grew up surfing. So like that was one of the things that like before the drugs and the alcohol was like my like go-to for like stress relief and everything. I love surfing. That's where I feel the most at home, and the most myself. But yeah, so from there, I remember I met like a group of like strippers out on the ocean that were surfing. They were badass chicks, dude. I wanted to be like them so bad. I was 17 years old and like one of them like took such a liking to me that she was like, hey, like I have an extra room at my house. Like if you want a nanny for my 7-year old, like come move in with me. And like, dude, she like took me under her wing and taught me how like the benefits of cocaine with alcohol. I can all of a sudden drink more. For real. So like from there I was like, cause I was already starting to like black out. I remember like at one of the parties, like of my earliest ages of like remembering blacking out, I would like, we're at La Jolla Shores and we're at this like big party. And I remember I was like, probably like, it was in like 8th or 9th grade. And I like wake up, come to you and like a, like this bush and I'm like, have puke all over my side or whatever. And like, I remember, or it was like all next to me. And I remember this guy comes up that I had a huge crush on. He's like, bro, you're like laying next to someone's puke. And I was like, oh my God, who did that? But like, I still kept trying to drink controllably, you know? And like, so then when my friend came in to play, she taught me the like the benefits of the cocaine. And so like, here I am doing all that. My addiction got bad quick to the where, my first time in McAllister, I was 17. I finally all right, like she caked me out.
You went to the adolescent program?
Yeah. I was in, it was like the youth detox.
The youth detox, yeah.
And I remember that was the first time going to meetings. And well, actually, no, I went to meetings with her because she would tell, so she was sober for like a couple years before her relapse. And she was like, hey, like I go to these meetings because it helps keep my alcoholism at bay. Like it keeps it in check.
Oh, I see.
And also there's really hot guys there. And I was like, sold. Let's go.
Tell me more.
And from there, like we started going to, like, I remember we'd go to meetings and I'd see these people and I thought everyone was full of shit. I was like, there's no way that actually that happy, you know? And then when I went into the rehab, they were taking me every day to like different meetings outside and everything. And like, I was just like, okay, like this is cool and all, but like I wanted what they had. But once like I would think that detox was rehab. And so I would do my 2 weeks and I'd get out and I'm like, I'm cured. And like, I would just be like, go straight back home to my mom's. And all of a sudden I was just like off and running. Like I would go to meetings down in PB. I remember the North Shore Alano Club was the first meetings that I would go to there. So it's actually really cool now going back there. And like, so I go to the Saturday Night Live every Saturday it's so cool going up and speaking at a podium that I've cried at, I've lied at, I've like, I've laughed at, I've like all these progressions of my sobriety, like it started there. And awesome. So it's cool going there and like actually being able to like be doing it, you know,
because not just socializing,
just like the facade for so long that I was like actually sober and I was actually doing it. But realistically I was either smoking weed or doing something in the like that, you know, I could never let go completely. And so from there, it was just like one thing after another. I like the like insanity came in thick, you know. I was in car accidents at 19 years old where like my buddy died in my arms, like the week that I went out to relapse. Like I went out to the desert thinking I could do it. And I was like, yeah, like we're going to just be sober and go out there, whatever. I'm cured. So I go out there and like I end up like just creating some ruckus. I like was dating this firefighter and that night I like come to and he's like carrying me into like the tent and I was just oh, what happened? And he was like, you tried to fight my aunt. Like, I don't think this is going to work out. And I was just like, damn. Okay. There's really no talking my way out of this one. Yeah. So from there, like, remember the next morning, everyone went out riding and obviously no one woke up my drunk ass because they didn't want me, like, you know.
Yeah,
so
finally,
like a little bit time goes by and like two of my friends like roll up in like their off-road vehicle and they're like, hey, you want to go off-road with us and like go like day drink? And I was like, they're like, I think you could use like a hair of the dog. I was like, you know what? Let's go. So like, we go. And I remember like an hour before the crash, like me and like the owner of the car, Brady, he was like, I was the confessing to him. It was obviously a drunken like conversation, you know, but I was like, yeah, dude, like I'm usually sober. And like, that's like when I'm happiest is when I'm like completely like off everything, but like nobody wants to do fun things with me sober. And he was like, tell him, he was like, Nat, like we can go out and we'll go do sober stuff. We'll go out to the desert. We'll do all these things like sober when we get back in town. And I was like, let's go. I was just like, so cool. Then we get back in the car and like, I was actually I was off-roading before, we switched drivers. But, and like, Brady was like, hey, you should let, James tried to drive. And so like James got in the front seat and I usually don't put my seatbelt on in the desert, which is super stupid. But like, I made a joke and I was like, might as well put this thing on. Right then, like we start driving and like Brady told James to like slow down and he wouldn't. He was like, don't, just cause I never off roaded before. Don't say literally I don't know how to drive. Got all super cocky, you know?
Yeah, big,
and so
cool guy.
Sure. All of a sudden, like we like hit this tire and we went flipping like 10, 15, 20, like would not stop, you know? And then, so I'm in the back seat. We end up landing on our, like on our left side of the vehicle. And like the dust starts to clear and I realize that Brady's no longer in the car. And I like, James had like his head, like the top of his head, like was like scraped, scalped from like the sunroof was open. And then like his collarbone was broken. So he's not moving, you know, he's like, I like help go find Brady, you know, like I'm good. Just go find him. So like, here I am, like I have a busted kneecap. Like I'm just like not okay. But I like mustered my way out the back and was able to break the back window to get out. And I see Brady about like 10, 20 yards from our car. And he's just on his side. Like his shoes are kicked off. Like his like shirt's kicked off. And like, I thought he was just pissed off that he just totaled it. Like his car's totaled, you know? So I'm like walking up to him and I'm like, Brady, like, it's okay. Like, James is okay. I'm okay. Like, you're like, we'll figure out your car situation. Like, just everything's okay, you know? And like, he's not responding. And I turn over to him and I put my hand on his side. And like, I didn't realize, but, like, the biggest blood, like, puddle of blood's like rushing from his head. And he just like gave out in my arms. And after that, I was not okay. I like, they life flighted a helicopter in. This was actually one of my first moments of like, where I encountered God. I got down on my knees and I was like, God, help me. Like, all of our phones were kicked off. And like, I was like, I need to find a phone right now, you know? And I just went down on my knees. And for some reason, I like, God just told me to like search where my feet were. And I start kicking sand around or whatever. And all of a sudden, like a corner of my phone pops up and I was like, oh my gosh. And so I like called the 911, the second I called it, my phone died. So it was like God right there, you know? And so, Brady was like, James was life flighted to the hospital. He made it, but obviously Brady didn't. And like, from there, it was just like, I could not stay sober after that for a while.
That's so traumatic.
And then, my dad was dying of cancer, and I was his caretaker from like 7 to like 5 when my mom would get off work. Like I was like the one that fed him and like showered him and just made sure he was okay. And then after she would get off, like everything was else was just like I was just on my own shit, you know, and so like coping. And it was a really, really tough time. I was 21 when he passed away. And after that, it was just like I was skyrocketed. My dad was my best friend, you know, like growing up, like it was always me and him. So like my dad favored me. So initially, like my mom kind of favored my sister to like even it out, you know. And like he was like everything to me. We had so my last name is Figueroa. And so his nickname is Figgy. He was like an old school classic like wooden fin shaper. Like he's actually like a pretty big deal in like the surf community. And down in PB. And so he would always say like we're team Figgy. Like me and him are team Figgy and mom and Nicole aren't. Like that all started at the Dunbar Fair one year. This like lady came or we're like my dad put his arm around me and was like, Natty, let's go dance with the dancing robots. And like goes to put his arm around me and this chick like was walking by at the same time and he accidentally nicked her boob, like not even meaning to, you know? And she like gets in his face. Mind you, I'm like 9 years old. I'm tiny as shit, you know? And she's like getting in my dad's face. So I swoop in between them and I was like, if you're gonna touch him, like you're gonna get through me first, you know? And like here's my mom and my sister yelling back and forth, being like, stop it, like just walk away. And my dad turns to me and he goes, see, this is why you're team Figgy and they're not, you know? Like, but then like so like we were a team, you know? Then so when, and I'm not disgracing my sister, he loved my sister, you know, was just, but I was like his little man, you know, my brother died when he was 18. Like my sister is like a total girl's girl, you know? And so when I came out, he's like, you're my son. I'm going to teach you how to fight, fish, hunt, like surf, everything cool I know how to do. Like my dad taught me.
That's really cool.
You know? And so, initially, like when he passed away, like I felt that. I was like, I felt that emptiness of like, wow, dude, it really was me and him this whole time. Because like initially I was the one that was causing the ruckus that my sister and my mom didn't really want to get close to me at that point. You know, I was very, very sick. I remember like I got in like 5 fights out in the ocean the week that he died, like stupid shit, you know? And then I like try to fight my uncles at my grandma's funeral the next like few months later. And like they had to like hide the alcohol at the funeral because I was just they hid it in a bush. I found it immediately.
You found it.
But like it was just all bad. And then I was like in and out of jail. I'd wake up. I loved to steal. I loved the like thrill of like stealing and shit that I didn't even need, you know.
It was just
the Xanax and the stealing. I don't know why, but it went hand in hand. All of a sudden I'm like feeling like I need new makeup and just stupid shit, you know. And so I was not a good thief. Like,
you were?
I would get caught often. Like, majority of my court cases were fucking petty thefts, dude. Like, stupid, you know? And so from there, I was in and out of court with that, in and out of Las Colinas. And then, because they would find drugs on me too. And so my charges would get worse, you know?
Of course,
and then, from there, like the insanity just kept coming in super thick. At one point, like I woke up in the hospital and like I had a tag on me that said Jane Doe, and I started busting up laughing because I thought that I came up with the girl version of John Doe. I was like, oh my god, I'm so clever. But like realistically, I didn't have an ID on me, and like they thought I was dead. So I guess I like the nurse came up to me. I'm in the hallway on a gurney, like not even in a room. And she's like, do you know what happened to you last night? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, you were hit by a car. And like someone dragged your body out of the street thinking you were dead. And like the paramedics got you, brought you here, you know? And the crazy thing was I get up from there. I like ran out so I didn't get charged for the hospital bill. I ditched a cab back to my house and I went right back and I bought a bottle, you know? It was just the insanity came in tough. Where like that's what something that should have been like, oh my gosh, you should probably stop drinking, dude. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get over this with a drink.
Classic Jaywalker.
And which was really funny. So That day, I get a message from that old firefighter.
Oh, okay.
And mind you, he knows like the chaotic, he stopped talking to me because I was so bad. Okay. He goes, "Hey, how are you doing?" Obviously, I wasn't about to tell him. I was just like hit by a car last night, like woke up in the hospital. I said, "Oh, I'm doing really good. I have 9 months sober right now."
Nice. That's solid time.
I'm sponsoring. I'm doing really good. And he goes, "Really?" Well, that's kind of crazy because I came on a call last night and to a dead body on the side of the road, and it was you.
Oh.
And I was like, oh,
you got caught.
Okay. And I was like, literally. I was like, I was roofied.
That's very believable.
Dude, oh my gosh, so bad, you know? And like, that was just a gunshot right there. It was just like, okay, of all people in San Diego, all the firefighters in San Diego, you are the one that has to find my lifeless body.
You found the body.
Yeah. And so from there, it was like it progressed, you know. And then I remember I had like my first abortion. I got in a really bad relationship with a guy that was very abusive, and like it was literally like a week after my dad passed that I like had to go in and get this like baby surgically removed from me, because like this man was an absolute devil. Like he was like not someone that there's no way I could be able to take care of a baby right then, you know. And but I've held onto so much guilt and shame from that for so long, you know. And like that's still something that I'm working through right now. But from there, I just like I've probably gone to like McAllister detox like 8 or 9 times at this point, you know. I probably should have a plaque on the wall you know. So like I was just broken, you know. And so from there,
Natalie's back.
Literally, like they know me by name there. It's so sad. I'll get to that later. But I like actually had a really cool experience with that recently. Yeah. But so now I'm like, I go back into rehab and like I finally start getting my life together. I used to think that the Kava bar was sobriety for the longest time. Oh, I thought that was
not.
I mean, like it's not. Like, full on. I'm sorry. I don't think that. I thought that Kava and all of that was recovery. I thought that that was like the 12 steps and like you go there to like get sober and all these things or whatever. Yeah. And like not knocking them whatsoever. Just for me, I am a real alcoholic. So like I do everything alcoholically, you know. Instead of going to meetings, I went there, you know. Like, yeah, I do know that that saves a lot of people with having community and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but like
of course.
In the position that I was in, I needed to be in a place where I was only getting help for like my alcoholism, you know, not changing it for something else. And so I would come in there. I was like 4 months sober, and this guy from my past that I've been in love with since I was 15 years old comes in, and he like used to always treat me like I wasn't good enough, and like all of a sudden he like I'm all grown up and I'm doing really well. And we got together, and like he was on heroin, and I was like, oh, I've never been into opioids, so I could save him. So like that.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Oh my gosh. I was absolutely DeLulu. I like thought that like, cause I, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well I'm not going to do like the heroin with him, but I can just smoke a little bit of meth, you know? And so here I am like just going ham with like the meth and the GHB. And we were living out in San Marcos. I moved in with him really quickly. The relationship got really quick. And then I remember the deal was he was going to get he was going to taper off the heroin, and like he was going to get sober if we wanted to be together.
Then all of a sudden
he realized that the majority of the money that he like loaned to his dad, which was like I think like $700,000 to like invest in one of these houses, the house like went up and like just the whole thing just didn't like work out, and his dad owed him that money, and so he was like, by the way, you're not going to be getting that for a couple years. And so here he is, spent all of his money on either like stupid gun parts or like things like for his dirt bike. And like we had a ridiculous amount of gun parts and stuff. He was like, thought he was gonna start Cerakoting guns. This man calls me one day and he goes, I need you to come home, because I was visiting my mom, and he was like, I need you to come home. Can you bring duct tape and Neosporin? And I was like, what the? yeah, what happened? He was like, I kind of like shot my hand. I was like, wait, what? He was like, yeah, like I was like cleaning my gun and I didn't realize there was a bullet in the chamber and I like shot into my hand and like, it was like, I need you to, and I was like, oh my gosh. Dude. Okay. So I get out here. He doesn't mention that he also shot into our kitchen wall that doubles as our hallway wall. And so I go out there. He tries to caulk it himself with like his hand bloody. The next morning, the like cops show up for a suicide watch. Really? Yeah. There's meth and heroin and all kinds of stuff around the house. There's illegal gun parts everywhere, silencers, all kinds of crazy, like freaking crackhead shit. So they take us both in. And right then, like, we lost our house. We had to move in with my mom in North Park. And around that same time, he told me, he was like, you know, I just lost everything. Like, I'm not getting sober now. And like, I was like, okay, well, maybe if he won't get sober for himself, he'll get sober if I start doing the heroin. And so here I am.
How nice of you.
Thanks. I know. I'm such a winner. loyal to the game. So I'm literally, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm like smoking bong loads with heroin on top, trying to. Like, it did not work, by the way. Suggest. I did not know what. So finally, I started teaching him how to do it on foil, and it's just like
the chasing the dragon.
Yeah, I like didn't like it at first. I kept puking and all this stuff, whatever. But I did like the fact that I finally could check out. You know, I could finally, my mind went blank. And like after that, I just started sneaking it behind his back. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't tell him now because like I like this. And he's gonna make me stop. And so
we can't have that.
So here I am. We're like living at my mom's house. I'm like sneaking it behind, like, just I love my mom to death, but she was like, she was clueless to all this stuff, you know?
Even with all her recovery experience?
So she's never really worked like a program, like, she's never really been in like, she's like gone to meetings a couple times, you know, but like, my mom is the sweetest person in the entire world. Like, she wants to believe that everyone's heart in like, is just pure, you know? And it, looking at me, like, I'm her baby, you know? She wants to think that like, I'm like completely good too.
Yeah, of course.
So, from there it just got bad. And, my ex was like telling me that I needed to get sober and all these things when he found out. And so here I am, like, he's giving me Suboxone and I'm like, and smoking in front of me. And I'm like, dude, like, you know? And so I'm like taking the Suboxone, flicking it on the wall and smoking behind his back still. So finally he was just like, all right, Nat, like, dude, if you want to do this, you want to do this, fine. I can't stop you, you know? Okay. And so we started doing it together. And then from there, he started, we're broke. So he's like going down to Mexico to pick up from like the cartel and stuff, bringing it back.
In bulk.
And so he brings back like this, like what he thought was Afghani gold heroin. And we're in these little like tiny balloons. He's supposed to be selling them, but we're smoking all of them. he from there we're like went through all the bags, you know, and after that we went back to our connect to get like a gram of dope, and we're no longer getting well. And the dealer was like, dude, I think that that might have been fentanyl that, like, you guys were smoking. If you're not getting well off this stuff, it's, like, the best stuff. And, like, all of a sudden, like, we're smoking, like, grams of heroin and we're not getting well. And so we're like, shit, dude.
It's not working.
So then we had to switch over to fentanyl. And from there, it was just, like, off and running.
How long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago.
So it was starting to become a thing.
6 years ago, So because I got clean off the fentanyl 4 years ago. I was on it for a good 2 to 3 years, and it was like, so we started fighting really heavily, you know, from, so he was the one that was providing the heroin in the beginning. And then like after that, like, he didn't know where to find fentanyl. So I'm like a little go-getter. I found some people that could sell it, you know? And so like now I'm in control and I'm oh yeah, you want to hit? Well, like, it's mine. Just very toxic, queen. You know? Yeah. And it just was not a good combination. So we just started fighting really badly. He used to treat me like I wasn't good enough. Like, he would like tear me apart, and like he started texting his ex-girlfriends, like just got super toxic, you know? From there, like, he came out to like, wanting to cross dress and like and like just like saying he wanted to like start dressing in my clothes and start doing all kinds of like crazy stuff, you know? And like, whatever, like that's all But then I realized that, like, he, like, came out to, like, not being into my gender. And, like, that's why he treated me so wrong. So it got weird, you know? And so after that, like, I started realizing that, like, it wasn't me that wasn't enough. Like, he just wasn't into my gender. It, like,
shifted. And how long were you together?
Like, 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, and I've known him since I was 15.
And then, like, all of a sudden,
like, he just it started making more and more sense that, like, that's why he wasn't into me, and, like, he treated me like I was just his homie, like, but we were in a, like, tough relationship, you know?
Yeah,
it just got weird real quickly.
Really,
so after
crazy.
That,
wow.
I was, like, telling him, I was trying to get sober off of the fentanyl for, like, a couple months, you know? And he would just tell me, he's like, I'm not getting sober with you, like, you're not doing that. Like, like, there's no way, you know? And so finally I was like, once that happened and once I realized that, I was like, I'm gone. And I checked myself into the psych ward the next day. And I got sober for the first time off of fentanyl, and it was hell. Shout out Sharp Mesa Vista. They took me on immediately. And I, like, finally, like, removed him from my life. And, he was still staying up. My mom was in Iowa. And so I, like, dipped out. He was still there for, like, a week while I was in the psych ward. And then
with your mom?
No. My mom wasn't. Yeah. He was at my mom's house by himself. But there was all kinds of foil throughout my room. And it just wasn't safe for me to go home, you know? And so I went into a crisis house for, like, a couple days until, like, my roommate, like, I woke up to her staring at me when I was asleep, like, just sitting up staring at me, and, like, told me how, like, I was her long lost daughter and was separated at birth and all this stuff. And I was like, Mom, get me the hell out of here. And so from there, like, I went and stayed with my mom's friend and I met, like, one of my friends from the psych ward, like, came out, and, like, he was, like, needing a place to stay, and I, like, I'm a people pleaser, so I was like, you know what, let's go back to my mom's house. Like, just help me, like, get rid of all the foil and all this stuff, whatever, and, like, we can go back to my mom's house, and you can stay on my couch.
Nice.
And from there, like, I get back there, and we're, like, going through my foils, and I'm stuck in a couple of them in my pocket just in case, you know? So I was out again within a couple of days.
Oh, Jesus.
And then from there, I started hitting up all of my ex's friends that we used to buy from, and, like, I all of a sudden, like, started, like, getting into, like, selling fentanyl, like, it's just, like, it was bad. It was bad. It got bad quick. And from there, like, I thought it was the shit. I was making a lot of money, but, like, I was smoking it all, you know? Then, like, a couple of my friends, like, died in my arms, and I had to revive them back to life. Luckily, all of them came back, you know? Okay. But, like, obviously there's a huge amount of shame and guilt that, like, I hold on to still to this day that, like, I wasn't able to let go until I, like, worked the steps and, like, was able to make amends with these people. But, from there, I was just like, all right, I'm broken. I'm lost. I need help. I went a year again with, like, just the chaos and all of that or whatever.
Of course,
in it, I was held hostage by this guy that I was selling to. He, I guess, was in love with me, and I didn't know this. And one of the days, I went over to sell him a sack, and he goes, "You're not leaving." And I was like, what do you mean I'm not leaving? And he showed me his gun, and he goes, "You're not leaving. Sit down."
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
And I was just like, oh, fuck.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Then I, like, he, like, comes in. He's, like, twacked out. He's like, he's like, he shoots up meth. So, like, he's just, like, on a sick one, you know? And so he comes back, and he was like, can I show you something? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
And so he comes out with this, like, huge canvas that he, like, drew of, like, me and him. And it looked nothing like me. This man was not a great artist, let me tell you. But he's holding my head, and we're, like, about a kiss in the picture. And, like, at the bottom, it says, "One day you'll be mine."
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
Dude.
And so I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. And it's to the point where I'm, like, sitting here, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm dead, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm dead unless I play the part, you know? And so I was like, oh my God. Like, I love you too. Like, I love this, of course, you know, and so just, like, going along. I know that I had some GHB in my bag. And so I was like, I'm just going to roofie this dude, you know? So he's like, I'm like trying to play the part of taking care of him. I'm like, you want some coffee, babe? And like, I gave him some coffee and I knocked him the fuck out.
Oh,
and,
nice.
So the guys that were staying with him were these Southsider dudes. And one of the like girls that was there was like a treasurer for them. She like held all the money for the gang.
I see.
That like, he actually confessed to me that he stole a fuck ton of money from them. And like,
no way.
So I'm here knowing that I'm about to flee, you know? Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to call them and let them know that I'm leaving and that like he has their shit. So that way it's not on my hands.
Yeah, of course.
So, cause like one of the guys is someone that I used to pick up from. So of like course. He knows where my mom lives and I just didn't want to have any involvement in that.
Of course.
So I like call them, they come straight to the house. I like let them know about like the money and da da da. The dude's still passed out, you know? And so, they're like, here, I'm tweaked out, you know? Yeah. So like I have bags and bags and bags of all kinds. I like carried my whole life with me everywhere I went just for some stupid reason. Yeah. I felt like I needed like my, like all the coloring books and all kinds of random stupid shit, flashlights, you know? I was like loaded with my stuff. And so they're like, we're going to need to take all your bags and with us.
Okay.
And like go through your stuff to make sure that like the money is not with you, because they couldn't find it.
Okay.
So here I am going from one hostage situation to another. Thinking that I was partaking in So they take me to this like really like cheap hotel out in like Otay Mesa. And like,
oh, no fucking way.
Yeah, it was very scary. And like,
oh, hell yeah.
Here comes all these like gnarly gangbangers coming in the room, going through my stuff, checking my full body. Jesus and like,
Christ.
I knew I had GHB. I didn't have any more like fent on me. Yeah. And so I was like starting to kick. And I was like, okay, well, this will... I'm so stupid. I'm like, well, this is going to help me a little bit, like, get by or whatever. So I took some G and I, like, ended up, like, pretty much, like, just, not, like, I was not, coherent, you know? I was, like, stumbling my words and, like, they didn't know what was going on. I was too high to, like, let them know that I took some G, you know? And so they thought that I was, like withdrawing or something weird, you know? So I kept telling them I'm, like, a fentanyl addict and I need fent and, like,
Yeah.
So they're like, we don't have any of that shit. So like we have heroin and we can give you like we can like shoot your up in your nose or whatever. Yes. Whatever that means. and so they did that and I OD'd instantly. And I all of a sudden woke up to like them slapping me awake in the shower I finally and so here they are having to babysit me because they can't let me out like that or whatever and like they still haven't gone through all my stuff, so here I am like they're like having to like they take me to the bath to a bathroom to like like watch me go to the bathroom and like just fucking weird shit, you know? And then after that like my mom like knew something was going on, you know, like she has this like uncanny sense, you know? And so finally, like one of my drug runners came and picked me up because like they found that there was nothing on me. One of the guys that I used to pick up from like vouched for me and he was like a big head out there and like the Southsiders. So like he vouched for me. He was like, Natalie's never like she's coming to my house multiple times. So there's nothing weird shit. She's always pays exactly our amount of money. Mm-hmm. And so he let me go. Okay. And I remember I look at my phone. I try to turn on my phone and my mom, there's over like 40, 50 messages, calls, you know? And
worried
so like
about you.
At that point, like I was living out of hotels and stuff. So like her to call me like that was like unheard of, you know? And so, I like call her and I broke down and I was like, mom, I need help. Like I just like was held hostage and this and this and this. And like, she knew something happened. Mm-hmm. So I went back home. And that was one of the other times where I was just like, all right, I need help. And so like I went into McCollard TD stocks and came back like another 2 weeks later. And I was just like, okay, like this isn't working, you know? And then I get back out. I was fine. And then again, I just like, I couldn't get it, you know? Yeah. I just like, I was sick of going through the withdrawal, but I could not stop. Like it had me in such a gnarly hold that I didn't know how to get out of it, you know? And so I was just beat to death, you know? And so from there, again, I put myself in the psych ward. I was like, I'm done. I want to kill myself. I cannot live like this anymore. Like, help me, you know? And at that time it was COVID season. So like, it wasn't easy to get into rehab anyways at that point, unless like I was like 1 to 50 myself, you know?
Yeah.
And so that time I finally was just like, all right, like this is it. Mm-hmm. But I still had one of my friends that was using at my house.
Okay.
And like, cause my mom, I love her to death, but like, she She's one of my biggest enablers, you know, like sure, I was very, sure. I had her wrapped around my finger, she just didn't want me to die, you know?
Right.
So like, it wasn't even like more so of like an enabling. It was the fact that like, it was COVID season. We all thought that like the plandemic was like real and that we're going to die and this. Yeah, so she didn't really want me to like go back out, you know, just end up dying. So from there, it was just like, I couldn't get it, you know? And so, when I got out of the psych ward, the guy that was living with me, one of my like gay besties, was like still getting loaded or whatever. He wanted to get sober, but he didn't. Well, it was the deal was like when I was in the psych ward, he was going to get sober out there.
But
he didn't, of course, you know, and he picked me up and like immediately I was like, you got some stuff on you. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, let's smoke. And then I was just like, that was my last like little like trip down here where I was just like, all right. After that, I like go home and I was just like, I can't do this. I need to get out of San Diego. So I went out. My mom has friends in Arizona, which was like my my second parents growing up. Like they were like my dad's best friend. And so I went out there. And again, I got like enough amount of vent to be able to get by not like super hurt on the way up or whatever. And then I got like 3 days for the methadone and I went out there. And I like, I remember the last night that I was like, the last night that I used Fent, I could not get high enough. Like I just kept smoking and kept smoking and kept smoking. And there was just like, it wasn't doing anything for me. So I finally was just like, all right, like God, take this from me, you know? And so from there, I finally actually like started kicking. It was the worst kick I'd ever experienced in my entire life. And, I was out there for 2 weeks. And then the deal was that I can come back to San Diego if I got on the Vivitrol shot. I get down to San Diego and my like insurance didn't cover it or whatever. They gave me naltrexone and they didn't know that like the methadone that I had, they thought that it was like at a clinic and I was like tapered down to zero. They didn't realize I was doing like street meth. I got thrown into a precipitated withdrawal when they gave me the naltrexone. And like, I'm so glad that that happened because I needed that last like horrible withdrawal.
I
was thrown into the hospital after that. I was like, liquid was coming out of all holes. It was just like not cute and not great. So like from there, I was just like, all right, God, I'm done. I am absolutely done. And I'm so glad by the grace of God, that was the last time I've ever used Fent. And like, that was 4 years ago. Then I start going to meetings and like, again, I thought that like, going to just meetings was gonna, and like the kava bar was gonna keep me sober, you know?
I didn't
realize that like there's so much more that I had to figure out, you know? And so from there, I got started like wanting to work the steps or whatever, but I wasn't willing. I thought I could do the steps and I'd be like, okay, that's supposed to help this alcoholic addict? Like there's no way, you know? Like, but also there was a scary thought of like, what if they don't help me? You know, like this is my last thing that's like supposed to like save me and like help me. And like, what if it doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
But, I, from there again, was just going to meetings or whatever. And so I got into like my psychedelic phase.
Oh, nice.
Just like, you know what? I saw all these people on like the psychedelics and recovery. I was like, sick.
Psychedelics and recovery. Oh yeah.
And, so I started doing that. And
what kind of psychedelics?
It started off with just like shrooms. I was like quote unquote microdosing, but like I took a little microdose. So I was like, I don't feel it. I took more, even though you're not supposed to feel it, you know, but I needed to. I got that little bit.
What's going on?
Here I am just like, oh my God, I'm going to do this every single day of my life now. You know, and I was just like, this is sick.
Yes.
So here I am doing shrooms every single day. Wow. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I can now go to festivals because I have something to like relate with them by.
Yeah.
So I go Coachella? Out to a festival. No, I went to, it was called the Cosmic Gardens.
Oh.
It was out in Campo. It was a 3-day festival.
Oh, no way.
That shit was actually in pretty Campo? Sick. Yeah, but like.
No shit. I didn't know that.
It was actually a lot of fun.
That's fucking cool.
For the most part. and then I realized when I got out there, I like started doing a bunch of like the shrooms and I couldn't get high anymore. I can't even imagine how much I did, but I just couldn't get high anymore, you know? And so once someone offered me ketamine, I did one bump of it and I was just like, oh my God, this is it. Like,
and ketamine, is it like a hallucinogen as well?
Yes and no. Like I, I haven't seen hallucinations, like, but like my friends have. It was just like I felt like I was God on that like. So here I am doing that for like 2 weeks straight. I went into an actual mental psychosis. Like I was like
thinking you're God.
So like from here I was just like, I remember I was sitting down the street from like the Kava bar and I was watching all my friends go back in and out or whatever. And then like I was like there, I probably spent like over $2,000 in whippets that week.
Jesus.
And like the bottom of my friend's car who I was borrowing.
Yeah.
The bottom of her car straight looked like a ball pit. Like it was like covered in whippet canisters.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was not. Yeah. So here I am just doing whippet after whippet. And like, I was just like, I was so lit off K that I like started like taking videos of myself, posting on my Instagram of like saying that like I wanted to like, to drink and drive into SeaWorld and fuck up some animals to get on the news. No, and like, I am such an animal lover that it's just like, the crazy part was I had in my mind that like, I had it all planned out where it's like, okay, obviously I wasn't going to hurt any animals. I was just going to like come and like smash into the front entrance and like get myself on the news. So I was like thinking, I was like, what's the monument that like hasn't been like drunk and drove into, you know? And I was like, SeaWorld. Everyone hates SeaWorld. So this is perfect. And then, but the crazy thing was like, that was all a tactic to get myself help. I literally was like, okay, like I'm going to just like ram the front gate. And then like, I'm going to get on the news and someone's going to be like, oh my God, we need to help this girl. And like, cause I was sick of going to the medically detox.
They'll feel sympathetic for your cause.
And so it was like, I was so sick of doing the medical detox, medical provided like programs that I was like, someone will help me and get me into like Betty Ford or something cool. You know, like help me. So like the fact that like that was where my mindset was going of like needing to get help so bad that like I literally my brain broke. And from there, like I remember I called one of my friends and like they like I cracked a joke and like pulled me out of my psychosis. But like he was like not like
talked you out of it.
He was like not like what did the dolphins do to you? And I just started busting up laughing and I was like, I need help. And so I like went back to my mom's house and I just like from there I was just like, all right, like mom, I need help. Like I need to like, I need to do something, you know? And so I like actually got into the program. I like started, I like went and found a sponsor and I was just like, I need help. And
I see.
So from there, I just like, I was a few months in and I met a guy.
A
guy that was like a godly man. He was like, he goes to church and this and this and this. And like, he wasn't like physically my like type at first, you know, like he just like, I into like bad boys and tattooed. He was just like a clean cut, like dude, you know? And so I, from there, like, I felt this attachment to him right off the bat, you know, and like he was very handsome, but like not like the type of like grimy bad boy that I usually go for. It was for like, oh my gosh, this is like a marriage man, you know? Of course. So from there, I was just like, I got scared, but he took me to church for the first time and that was Awaken in Eastlake. And I remember like the first time feeling God's presence, you know? And like it scared me. I all of a sudden like was falling super deep for this guy. We're going to church every Sunday. Like he was like fixing things in me. He was teaching me how to pray. And I've never believed in like a God, you know, like I have Nordic fucking God tattoos all over me. I have Thor's hammer tattooed between my tits. I have like Frey on my leg, Odin on my right. Like I just like the Valnut on my like right here on my thigh.
They're it's pretty
just,
cool
like,
though.
They are cool, you know, and they are a part of my past, but I don't know fucking jack shit about them. Like,
are you not a Viking?
So I'm actually mainly Norwegian. That's why I got them tattooed. So I'm Norwegian and I'm Spanish, but I'm like 75% more Norwegian than I am Spanish. So from there I was just like, oh my gosh, like Viking, you know, and like praise Odin. But praise I didn't know Odin. Shit about him, so, you know. So from there it was
going
just
to
like
Valhalla?
Oh my god, I was like, I was balls to wall. Nothing about it. That, like, you know, I just know that I'm Norwegian, that's it, you know. And so from there it was like I feel like the enemy came in and like wanted me to self-sabotage. Cause I was like, this is the first guy that came in my life that treated me good. Like the way that my ex treated me, like I was never good enough. Like I just always was like just clinging onto breadcrumbs of love from these men. And like, this man came in and like, he showed me what real love is, you know? Oh, and it was crazy because it was like the first experience of like God's love that I felt, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so I ended up like, I'm still very sick. I've not worked my steps, you know? Mm-hmm. He was only 9 months sober off fentanyl and like,
Early in recovery.
Yeah. So like I really hurt this man and acting on old shit and like, he couldn't handle it, you know? And I knew right then, because I asked God, I was like, God, please give me a sign if I'm not meant to be in this relationship. Because I've always had some kind of man in my life that like I either was dating or in a relationship with. I'm a serial dater, you know? Yeah, like men are my other addiction, you know?
Course,
and
yeah,
so
validation.
I would run to that. And so I asked God, I was like, all right, God, if like I'm not meant to be in this relationship, like give me a sign. And I remember after that, like, I was, like, looking out the window and, like, waiting for, like, the signs to come. And, like, nothing came, you know. And then later on that night, like, I ran into one of, like, these guys that, like, also, like, treated me like I wasn't good enough back in the day or whatever out in L.A. And I was out partying with one of my girlfriends. It was her birthday weekend. And pretty much, like, he came in to kiss me and there wasn't any defense. Like, I just, like, kind of froze. And, you know, and, like... I immediately was just like, let's get, like, we need to get out of here, you know, and I left and like me and my best friend, like I woke up the next morning and I felt like I relapsed. Like every part of me was just like, oh my God, like I might as well have just relapsed because that's how fucking shitty I felt, you know? And from there, like, I just like, it was one thing after another. Like I all of these doubts were coming in. I was about to fucking relapse and I called my sponsor and my sponsor is like, all right, like I highly suggest breaking up with him, but like not like when we make amends, we do not make, we don't do so if it harms yourself or others. That will absolutely be a harm. Do not tell him, just break up with him.
Okay.
And then from there, it just like, it ate me alive so much. Cause like we were still doing this thing where like we were like no contact and then like this and this or whatever. And then like all of a sudden, oh, can you spend the night with me?
Yeah.
And so like one of these nights it just like, he had a dream that my dad came into his dream and like visited him in his sleep and like, dude, it was my dad, 100%. The like the language, the body language, the things the events that happened in the dream.
Really?
My dad 100% came into this dream. So it was like setting a scene of like, because I showed him like my home videos. And it was a scene down at Tourmaline and PB on my birthday. I had every single birthday there growing up. And like it was my dad was like pretty much he was clowning him at first. And that right there, 100% is my father. Like my father would have 100% be like clowning on him, you know? And he was like, he mentioned that it was like an initiation into the family kind of deal, you know? And then after that, it got a little more serious and they're watching me running around as like a little kid. And he turns to him and he goes, Natty's going to need someone that's not going to abandon her for what she's done. And I'm sitting here with a secret and I'm just like, like dying inside, you know? Yeah. And then after that, I just broke and I told him everything. And it was so crazy because he didn't look at me like he was obviously really hurt, but he would just like turn to me. And he was just like, I know that wasn't you. Wow. Like, I know that that was the enemy coming in and like that, like, obviously I do understand why now that we need to separate and like, you need to get right and everything. Yeah. But like, I don't see you like that or whatever. So after that, we like completely separated and like, he like gave me space to be able to go and actually work my steps. And like, cause obviously like I was just still so sick because I without having the steps, without having a program, without working like these things out with myself, I was still very, very sick, you know?
Right.
And so God removed him and, he started to isolate. And it got to the point where like it built up in him that like all of a sudden he had to have oral surgery and he already was slipping away from his meetings. And from there he was prescribed Percocets for the oral surgery. And he was just like ran right back to Mexico, was like back on the fentanyl.
Wow.
And like there was like months where I was like trying to save him and I had to completely separate myself. And so here I am like, dude, one of the ladies at our church like paid for a program out in Mexico to come down here, sedate him, throw him in the back of a van, and ship him off to Mexico.
They totally do that.
By the grace of God, God did for him what he's going to do for himself, you know? And so that's where he's at right now. And
God damn.
But that gave me the peace because I kept running back to him, you know? And like, because I love him so much, but like at the same time, like I needed to work on myself and I needed completely to like remove the men. I need to remove everything, you know? And so I didn't know how to do that. God, like I always would run to like men, you know? And so I did it for a minute and it just didn't, it wasn't, it was just, it was more and more, it was more chaotic, you know? And so like finally I just like, I broke and I was just like, all right, God, like I need help.
Yeah.
And so I started working my steps and then from there I was just like, I was lost. I was I worked the steps before all this happened. I was actually like already sponsoring, but I was still like, it was just like back and forth where I was going back and forth with him. And then from there, I was still, cause like in my addiction, I was like, when I met him is when I stopped doing the escorting and like the prostitution. So like he kind of saved me from that. And
from
so
that
I started working poker games and I like was making a lot of money with that, but it was very tiring and it was still in a position where I was like using my body in a sense to like make money.
Of course.
And so I was just like, I was exhausted. And so I remember I like had a moment where I was just like, I need God. I needed what he like when he showed me like the church and everything. I was like, I need to start following God, you know? And like one of my girlfriends, Marina, got saved and like was posting it on Instagram that like she's someone that was doing witchcraft with me and like all these like praying to all these multiple gods. Right, and I like, I remember she was posting on her Instagram that she got saved and she's like, Jesus this and Jesus that. And I like sat there and I judged her. Oh, I was talking shit to all of my friends and I was just like, oh my gosh, look at this Jesus freak. Oh my God. Like, that's so silly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the fact that there was something inside me that needed what she had. Yeah. You know, I was like, I was jealous that she could praise Jesus. My family, like we've always like we believed in God and Jesus, but we never followed him, you know?
Sure.
And so
sure.
Yeah. I from there, I like reached out to her and I was like, I need help.
Wow.
Like
okay.
I that weekend, I'm still living with my mom at 29 years old. You know, I'm like, I'm just not going anywhere in life.
You're not happy.
Dropped out of high school, you know, so I don't have a GED. There's like, there's no real career plan going on. And so
you're just not happy.
Exactly. And so from there I was like, all right, God, like, what do I do? I need to get out of my mom's house. Like I love her to death, but like, I'm like, I need to move on and like get my own life, you know? And so from there I, pretty much just like, I reached out to Marina and I was just like, I need help. I went and I tried to escort that weekend and God intervened. I like met up with this guy off of like Seeking Arrangements and on my profile it said sober. And so I go out there just randomly. The guy had 25 years sober that he's on his, like before.
Whoa,
and
whoa,
he like,
he had it.
Yeah. Right. And then he was on a 7-year relapse and he was just like, I just want you to know your recovery comes before anything else.
Wow,
and like, feel uncomfortable, just leave.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there and like, I remember he like was heating up a plate of Coke and I just like smelt it. And it just like, it just consumed me to the point where God would just got me so uncomfortable that I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah,
I can't do this. You know? And I told him, I was like, I am really triggered right now. And so I need to leave. And he was like, here, keep the money. He gave me $1,000 and was just like, go home. Like your recovery means more to me than
that's
like
wild.
Anything, you know? And so from there I called Marina the next day and I was like, dude, help me.
Yeah.
I need like, I don't know what, like, and I just broke and she like prayed over me. And then she like connected me with these, this couple that do deliverances.
Yeah.
And I had a fucking deliverance that like, literally like I felt these spirits and these things break off of me.
Yeah.
And like, it was just like, but that was like the beginning of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then from there I was just like, all right, God, like, help me. I was, like, cocktail serving at the strip club because, like, I don't know how to dance. So I was just, like, making jack shit money.
Yeah.
I was super lost. And I remember, like, I finally, I was like, you know what, God, like, I haven't turned my will. I've turned over my like, addictions, but I've never turned over my finances.
Yeah.
And so from there, I prayed. I was like, all right, God, take it all. Take it all from me. Like, help me.
Yeah.
That next day I went into work and one of my buddies that has 15 years sober, like came in partying with his friends and he comes up to me. And he's like, Nat, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm working. What are you doing here? And he was like, I know how much you cocktail servers make. Like, it's nothing. Like, like, what is the game plan? And I was just like, honestly, I don't have a game plan. He was like, well, do you want like a career opportunity? Like what's going, you know? And I was like, yes, like get me out this strip club. So from there, he got me a job.
Okay.
No, well, not right away, but he was like, okay, I'll let you know if like when something pops up. So that weekend, obviously like there was no set plan, you know? So I ended up going into Awaken by myself and I they asked if there's anyone in the room that wants to follow Jesus, like, please raise your hand. And I raised my hand and I just felt things break. And I was just like, I need you, God, you know, went to the front, had them pray for me. And, that same day, like, I got a message from him saying, hey, so a career opportunity opened up. Like, are you interested? He was like, it's not with me. It's for one of my partners. And so I went into that interview that next Monday. It's a flood service company. And I was the first time going into an interview where I wasn't sitting on the way in the car on the way up feeling like, okay, how am I going to manipulate these people into thinking that I'm worthy enough to work for them or like, I pretty much was just like, all right, God, this is in your hands. If I don't get this job, I don't get this job, and it's not meant for me, you know? And so I went up there with this like complete God confidence, you know? And so I remember my boss, he said, so there's no real training program for this job. Yeah. Like, how do you do in a sink or swim dynamic? And I was like, well, honestly, that's kind of sobriety. Whether I sink or I swim, it's up to me, you know? And I think that's what, like, that was what he needed to hear because I got the job. And this all happened in a matter of 6 months, dude. That's like, in the past 6 months, after I finished my steps, I got into sponsorship. I started following Jesus. All of this started happening for me.
Amazing.
It's so wild, you know? Yeah. And, like, I, like, the way that I look at myself, the way that I, like, dress now, you know, it's like, I don't feel like because for my entire life, I've always used my body to get by, you know, with the prostitution, with, like, all of that. Like, I never thought that I was worthy of anything but my body or my looks, you know? And, like, God showed me recently that I'm looking at myself through how he sees me. Yeah. And it's like, he's showing me the power of my mind and my heart, you know, and my drive and, like, I like everything changed for me, you know, the next few, I moved out of my mom's house. I'm living in Point Loma, like in the most amazing apartment, dude. Like I have 9 sponsees right now. I'm taking on a little bit more than I can chew, but it's like, I'm an alcoholic, you know, I take on,
got like a softball team going.
So it's pretty wild. Yeah. We got a whole army. But I mean, there's only like 5 that are like fully in the work right now, you know? Hey, so like, it's like, it works for me, you know? And so, I don't have any free time right now, but it's good. You know, it's like, if I get bored, whenever I get bored, I get thirsty. And then when I get thirsty, you know, like all hell breaks loose or like the drugs start looking a little better. No, you know, my brain needs to be active.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, this past
idle times. What's that fucking saying?
Yeah.
Idle times, the devil playground.
There we go.
Yeah, I got
so,
it.
So yeah, I just got 9 months off everything. I've never taken a clean token.
What's your sobriety date?
It is actually my nephew's birthday.
Oh,
so when he's turning 1, or when he's turning 2, I'll be turning 1.
Wow.
my sister's like, you can't just let him have his day. Like, of course not. Really. You know, I'm like, nope, he's sharing it with me.
Yeah. What day is it?
It's July 17th.
July 17th. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
I've never had a sit-in. I've always, like, I would go to them growing up and, like, in the rooms, you know, and I would see it and, like, I'd, like, see everyone roast everyone and this and this and this. Like, oh my God, mine's going to be huge and it's going to be hilarious because there's a lot of stories of Natalie that, like, are pretty comical, you know? And so I'm actually really excited for that because, like, I've never made it to a year, you know? And, like,
no shit.
So here I am doing it for real this time. And it's like, I do not think it's a coincidence that I finally, like, things started happening for me after I did the steps, you know? It's like, it's something that I've fought tooth and nail for so long, you know? And so, like, life's getting pretty crazy right now, you know? But I've heard someone share in the rooms that sobriety gave them peace. Mm-hmm. And peace doesn't mean that you don't have problems. Peace means that your problems no longer have you. And like that hit so hard because it's true, you know, like shit happens, like some gnarly stuff has been going on lately, you know, but like I turn to God now I turn to sponsorship. I turn to like service, you know, and it's like I have different ways of coping with these things now. And by the grace of God, for the first time ever, like the obsession of the mind is gone. You know, it's just like, I am getting baptized on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
And like, it's so cool. Today I went through the baptism course.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like the lady that I was sharing my, like, so we went around the room and kind of shared our testimonies of like why we're there and why we want to get baptized. And like after I shared mine, because mine was like kind of like the heaviest in the room, you know, it was like I shared vulnerable about the fentanyl, the like prostitution, like everything, you know. And she came up to me after and asked if I wanted to share my testimony on stage at the like the Wednesday service, which is like over like 500 people in that, like
that's huge.
So I will not only be like up on the screen or like up on the stage sharing my testimony, but like I like went two steps further and was like, here, we should broadcast the video of me nodding out in the background of like the big screen. Yes. And she's like, let's go. So that's going to be happening on Wednesday. Look, and then everyone gets to see me get baptized. And so I'm really excited for that. I'm trying to make, see if my mom and my sister and my mom's going for sure. But like, I'm trying to see if like my sister and my brother-in-law will come because they're definite non-believers, you know, but I have a strong prophesizing that this year they come to Jesus too. And so playing the seed, you know? So like, but yeah, again, it's the same thing with the program, traction rather than promotion, you know? Right. And so, but yeah, dude, like, oh, I have this like, this high that I get from God now that like, when I'm working with my sponsees or I'm being of service or I'm leading meetings, it's like God's been putting it on, like on my hands of where I'm like leading bigger and bigger meetings. And it's freaking frightening sometimes, you know, but like God doesn't put anything in my hands that I can't handle, you know? And so like just getting comfortable in that. But yeah, it's just like things are just happening for me. And I don't know. I've never had this peace before, you know? Fucking awesome. And it's just like, I finally stopped dating. Like God fully removed the men from my story. Like it's so crazy. I'll be going out dancing with my friends. And like, we went out for Madison's birthday last week. And like 2 weeks ago, it was amazing. We had literally me and like Madison were like those sober drunk girls, you know, like you could not tell that we were.
I could see that.
I love her so much. She definitely matches my vibe. So like we had a freaking blast and like, it was so cool because like God kept all of the dudes away from me. I don't know if they thought that I was like, oh, this girl's like wasted. like, but it was like I just like there's just they just kept him away from me and it's the best thing ever for me because like right now I've been blocking dudes that have been like hitting on me. It's a little excessive, you know, but like I want.
Well, you're a very attractive person.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely deranged though. So once I get to know that, they're like, no. Yeah, just kidding. but like it's to the point now where it's just like, oh, finally, like I'm okay with just having God, you know, like I'm 100% in a committed relationship with Jesus right now. Nice. It is the best relationship I've ever had in my entire life, you know, and he's just like, things are breaking off of me right now where I just like, like, I don't need the validation anymore. I don't need to like dress where my boobs are popping out all crazy and my ass cheeks are falling out of my shorts or really anything. And it's just like, I remember for a little bit there in church, I was like starting to like judge myself and compare myself to the other girls because I'm not your normal church girly, you know? Like I got fake tits and I'm covered in tattoos and I'm just like, I'm not the like cookie cutter Christian girl, you know? But there's a testimony in that, you know? Course, like the fact that I don't look like them and the fact that I didn't grow up in the church, you know, God, like, and the fact that I was in prostitution and fentanyl and all these other crazy, you know, like that's a bigger glory for God than the ones that have grown up in it, you know? And so like, I'm starting to get more comfortable showing my tattoos in church and all these things or whatever. And like just getting okay with me because for the longest time I hated Natalie, you know? And today I can look in the mirror and love who I see, you know? And it's just like, I like took out my hair extensions and like got like comfortable with my natural hair, you know? And so I'm like, I'm not hiding behind things like that anymore to like feel like I'm like, I need that to feel pretty, you know? And it's just like, cause like my 22-inch long hair was like what I hid behind for so long, you know? And like getting comfortable cause I wanted to start surfing again. Last year and the year before that, I stopped completely because I didn't want to do the 4 hour wait, like the 4 hour like clean and dry and style time with extensions. But I didn't even go in the ocean last year really at all, you know? Really? And so last weekend I went surfing for my first time in forever. It was a very humbling experience. I do those muscles anymore. Those are long gone. But you know what? It was a testimony of sobriety for me. Cause like I was out there And I was like getting smacked by every wave, and it was hard to get out. And I was just like, at one point I was just exhausted. I had to stop, and I was praying throughout it, you know, but once I got past all of that and I got up on that wave, it was so worth it, you know? And that's like sobriety. It's like, you get past the rough part, which is those first few months, you know, and then like things start happening, like the beauty of like the of the blessings and the promises start coming true and all these things, and it's worth it. But then the next day you start all over again. And it's the same thing where it's like, now I'm at the end of the shore having to swim, like just paddle right back out to those sets, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just, it was a huge testimony of like sobriety because like, again, but the thing is, like, the more that I go back out and the more that I start surfing again, the easier it's going to get for me. Those muscles are going to get built back up. Hell and like, that's the same thing with sobriety, you know? Like, yes, it's hard in the beginning, but it gets easier, you know?
Of course.
And so that's like where I'm
like riding a bike.
God, it was so great because it felt like Natalie before the drugs and the alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like,
all right.
I was just like so pure and like, oh gosh, like I missed that version of me, you know? And it's all right out there, you know? It's just like, I just have to go for it, you know? Right. And it's just like, I am just so blessed that God gave me another chance, because for the longest time, it was just like right back to fentanyl, right back to alcohol, or right back to coke, or this, like, this is the first time that I feel confident in my sobriety.
That's fucking awesome.
And it's just like, God, like I wish I would have done the steps sooner, but you know what? I'm glad that I didn't, because there's a testimony in that.
Everything happens for a reason.
It's so true, you know? Yeah, and it's just like the community that I have in my life today. Mm. Like, I've always been like a guy's girl, you know? I'm like, I want to hang out with the guys because like the guys are fun and like they don't have drama. And no, realistically, it was because the guys wouldn't call me on the shit that like the girls would,
that's
you know,
true.
I can manipulate the men. I couldn't manipulate the women.
I
you
can't
know,
believe that. You can manipulate a guy.
Absolutely. I was like, I was highly skilled in it. but like then this year I started leaning on the women and like, wow. Like, cause realistically those men were going to mold me into the women that I wanted to be. You know, these women have, you know, I'm like, I'm in a part of a huge long lineage of sponsorship. Like my sponsor has a sponsor, has a sponsor, has a sponsor, has a sponsor, you know? And like we have our own sponsorship meetings on Wednesday, like shout out Erin. Like she is phenomenal, you know, like her and Brett literally, like they house people to like come into the meetings at their house. And like, they just like bring in so many people and save so many lives you know? And it's just like, it's so cool. Like they're literally the powered couple that I would want in the future. Yeah. You know, like I like take their relationship and like put it on my ideals list because like, that's what I want. You know, like I want a man that's going to like be taking on the men while I'm taking on the women, you know? Cause like, I like, that's what I want in the future, you know? But right now God's molding me to be like the future wife and the future mother that like I want so desperately to be, you know? But I can't do that while I'm in a, facing all these crazy relationships and all this stuff. Like God needed me alone to do this, you know, and to heal my heart and to get me right, you know? Cause the work that this God, or that God is doing in my heart right now, like is, it's unremarkable, you know? I don't even recognize myself some days. I'll be driving in my like my quick dry car and I'm like, look at you, like a working woman now, you know? Like I am surprisingly really good at sales, and I'm actually not so surprised because I've been selling myself and selling drugs for so many years that of course I'm good at marketing.
You
incorporated
it into something more positive now.
Exactly, you know? So it's like, okay, I like it's a new addiction for sure that I'm turning into a healthy way, you know, where it's like I'm trying to, so my gym has, or my house has a 2-story gym, my apartment complex. And so like, I've been like starting to work out and like, I've always just been a lazy little shit that like, I never really wanted. I have a high metabolism, so I always look like I worked out. So like,
you fooled me.
But no, I've been a lot of people, you know, I wear the workout clothes, pretend like I was working out, you know? So, but now I'm like, I'm actually, the other day I was the first time I like actually worked out hard. And like, I was like, wow, dude, I like this.
Yeah, it's
like
a rush.
It was just like, I'm finally letting God do the work now, you know, and like relying on him. And it's just like, me and my roommate Marina have been just like bringing more people to church with us, whatever. Obviously it's whenever they ask us, you know, but it's just been so cool. Like seeing like the light turn on in like our friends' lives, you know, with it. And like, because again, it's attraction rather than promotion, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, I just want everyone to have what I have now, you know?
Yeah,
and like, I've been bringing an H&I meeting to the old psych ward, Chart Mesa Vista, I was at.
That's
and
awesome.
Like, oh my gosh, it's been so fucking cool to go and bring light to a place that I was so stuck in darkness, you know, like the devil had me in his grips and like there was no like letting go there, you know, it was just like, I just kept like just going back and forth and it was just like horrible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other day I got like 5 or 6 phone calls of just like friends and people that are going through it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there, I was like, I turned it into a moment of gratitude because I was just like, I was at work and I was just stressed out or whatever. And like, I'm having to like play like therapist for all these other people.
Yeah.
And that they weren't even my sponsees, you know, it was just like, what's going on?
Right.
But I sat there and I was like, wow. Like I used to be the girl that you would call for a good time or a gram of dope.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm the person people call for a little bit of love of hope. Aww. And it's like,
oh, wow. So nice.
You know, it's like, wow. The roles have changed here, you know? And it's just like, oh, God, like, thank you for not letting me die all those times that I like OD'd or I woke up in the hospital or like woke up in jail or like with grand thefts and not knowing what I did or home invasions and all these things where I should have died in, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I like, I'm not, I'm here, I'm alive and I'm of use today.
Yeah.
I've never been of use to anything. I was such a selfish person. Mm-hmm. I like, there's a long amount of amends that I need to make, mainly financial, you know, but like there's some amends that did not go well. And like, that's okay.
That happened.
That's okay. You know, because like all I'm here to do is try to clean up my side of the street.
Right.
You know, and like some people don't want to hear it. I was left on red on multiple accounts.
Right.
That's okay too, you know, because like there's some people that I hurt so bad that aren't going to want me back in their life. And that's, that's just the truth of it that like I have to just like deal with at this point, you know, but I got my family back. I have the most amazing support system, the dopest sponsees. Like I couldn't ask for anything else.
Yeah.
This year I traveled out of the US for my first time.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. I went to Europe with my mom.
Oh, what?
We went out to, we stayed in Rome for a couple of days and then we went to Paris and we went we went to London for like a week too. And it was just so cool. Like, I'm so glad that God waited till like I was like sober and good before I went and traveled outside the US, you know, because like there's some scary areas.
Yeah,
and
I
was
just like, things could go wrong.
Being thrown into a sex ring wasn't part of my 10-year plan. So like I'm glad that God waited, you know. And so at the, I just, I've gone on 2 cruises in the past like year that sober, you know, just like, things are really, really happening for me. And like, God's just been warding me so hard, you know, like I'm finally financial dependent on myself. That's never been the case, you know? I sit back and I'm just like, what is your life? Like, this is so cool, you know? And it's like, even the hard times, like I get to look back and just be like, well, look at where you were.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like I'm super grateful today.
Heck yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on here. Like, man, I absolutely fucking admire your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like every time I see you, you're just like, like this like ball of light and shit, and it's really awesome. You know,
it's crazy too because contagious. Like I wasn't always like that. I was very, very stuck in like my shell where I had to fake it for so long, and I don't know if I like fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? But like I would fake that I was happy, and I was fake that I was just like this confident person, you know, but it wasn't true. I was very struggling, you know, and so like I'm glad that it's finally at a place where like with working the steps, I'm this like all the things I used to drink for, the goofiness, the confidence, the silliness, just like the like outlandish loudness, right, you know. It was like, I'm that today, you know? And like, there's some people that fucking don't like me because of it, you know?
Really?
But the thing is, well, my light shines on their darkness that like it's uncomfy, you know? Cause I've had that happen to me before. People that come around me when I was stuck in the dark, like their light would just be like, it would just blind me, you know? And like, so it, I definitely am not everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay too.
Hey, that's okay
you
too.
Know, fuck like I ain't for the week, and it's just like that's okay.
That's right.
You know, I'm just kidding. That was awful, but still sick, but like getting better. Yeah, it's good though. Fuck like life's good.
That's fucking awesome. Well, again, you're like one of my favorite models. Like,
oh,
really?
Thank
like,
you. Say that again. Just kidding.
Well,
a little louder.
That was one of my favorite models. But you know, you're just a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you know, everything you did for my brand and everything you've done.
Of course, and dude, you are a fucking scholar. Like, you're a rock star in this community. Every time I see someone's shirt that says "Fuck Venmo," I'm like, that's my phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. I wish I had that thing like everywhere.
Oh, I know, dude. I would me too. Oh like, God, it's like I'd a, like a so life annoying. Button just to keep it.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going crazy here.
You're
good. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you.
Of course.
Everything you do for me and everything you do for the community, man, it's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
You're a Valkyrie.
That's right. I'm not so much anymore, but it's okay. I'm a woman of God now, but it's okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Of course. All right. Love you, dude.
Goodbye, everyone.